Leo Litwack was an 18-year-old college student in 1944 when he enlisted to fight in World War II. He imagined himself an armed, vengeful warrior, but he wasn't given a gun. He was given a first aid kit and assigned to be a medic. Medics operated under the rules of the Geneva Convention. They were noncombatants, carried no arms, and were obliged to treat enemy wounded as well as their own. His training in first aid was often no match for the mutilated bodies of the wounded. Litwack is the author of a memoir called The Medic, Life and Death in the Last Days of World War II. It's just been published in paperback. Litwack has taught English literature at San Francisco State University for more than 30 years and is the author of the novel Waiting for the News, which won the 1970 National Jewish Book Award. Litwack says the larger subject of his war memoir is the transforming intensity of war, the shellings, the entrenching, the wounded and dying. Here's a short reading.
The living are complicated, but the dead have been stripped of all meaning. We saw them coiffed in crab-shaped helmets, dressed in gray uniforms, mouths agape, gray teeth, gray hands, worn boots, no identities, indistinguishable one from the other, dead meat, nothing to grieve. There were times when we'd squat near the dead and break open our packages of K-rations and eat the processed ham and eggs and the powdered orange juice. We'd light cans of Sterno under canteen cups and heat the bouillon and the sour coffee and afterward lie exhausted among the dead, heads braced and downturned helmets, a cigarette for those who smoked, feeling neither the misery nor pleasure of being alive, snoozing until Sergeant Luca prodded us. We were stupefied by the death we'd breathed and stumbled toward combat, clutched by the fear that we too could be made simple. We ate among the dead, slept among the dead, tried to rid ourselves of pity for the dead. Pity hurt. I felt it in my belly, in my heart, in my temples. It tightened my throat and lips and made me gassy. It was a hurt that went on, and the only cure for it was to become pitiless. That's what I wanted, the power to not give a damn.
That's Leo Litwack reading from his memoir, The Medic. What kind of judgments did you have to make about who to send to the hospital and who to send back into battle?
I didn't have to make that judgment particularly because in combat, yeah, I was a platoon medic. The designation was aid man. So I was stationed with a rifle platoon, and I had to keep up with my platoon. And that meant I could often only give cursory treatment to the wounded. Following us were litter bearers who could pick up the wounded. So my immediate task was to deal with the bleeding, the shock, to administer morphine most frequently, to bandage very quickly, and to apply tourniquets, and perhaps to give reassurance, and then move on fast to catch up with the platoon. So the decision as to how to treat the wounded really happened a bit later, with the litter bearers and then back at the aid station.
No, you were often in the position where you had to risk your life to save somebody else's life because you had to take care of somebody, and so, sometimes you were under fire while you were working on them. What's the closest you came to being killed or seriously wounded during World War II?
Well, we had occupied the high ground above a German village, and we could look down at the village. And finally, at the end of the day, we saw our troops of another company moving in to take the village. We had dug in, so we were all in slit trenches. I dug in with my platoon sergeant, who was my dear friend, Sergeant Salerno, that was his true name, and the platoon messenger. And Sergeant Salerno climbed out of the trench and told us that all to get up, we were moving out, the village was taken. And so we all got out and we're putting on our gear, and someone yelled out, "Rockets!" And I don't know what he saw, probably the rockets leaving the rocket launcher a mile away, I don't know. But I immediately dived for the slit trench, and I was in still midair when the rocket hit at the lip of our platoon, of our slit trench, and kind of turned me over, and then Salerno and Haas came toppling in on me.
Were they hurt?
Well, yeah. Salerno had his belly ripped open and his leg off, or nearly off, and Haas didn't make it into the trench, and his leg was amputated around the calf. And so I had to treat them both. I called for help, but the rockets then were coming in all over the place. And the platoon had to evacuate. They sent a rifleman in to stay with me, and he kind of huddled in this tiny trench while I administered to the two wounded. I covered Salerno's belly wound and put a splint on his leg and tied a tourniquet around Haas and covered his stump and gave him morphine. And then we were stuck there for hours while the rockets kept coming in. And it wasn't till some time later that they were able to send litter bearers up to take out the wounded. I was kind of left there alone.
Did either of them survive?
No. They survived till the next day, and then the ambulance was taking them back to the division hospital was caught in traffic, and they died in the ambulance, so I was told.
Was it difficult to have to treat a friend of yours who was so mutilated?
In the heat of the moment, I don't think such notions as fear and difficulty arise. You're dealing with the situation. You're doing the best you can. I think the hardest thing was waiting in that trench, because we were all alone there. It was unlikely that Germans would come, but there was that likelihood, and there was a possibility that a rocket might make a direct hit. And I guess Haas, who was in the lip of the trench, was no longer responsive, and I could barely get a breath from him. And Salerno was fading, and I was terrifically anxious about that and didn't know what more I could do for him. So it was a tremendous stress, and yet I didn't experience it as stress. It was just, as I say, I was just in the moment.
I'd like you to read a passage from your memoir about what it was like for you when the war ended. This is on page 204.
The platoon brotherhood I'd celebrated seemed no more than drunken sentimentality. We accommodated to everything. Being alive was a transient, easily modified condition. No intrinsic joy in it. Killing was simple, dying was scarier than ever. I would return to Detroit and resume my life. Nothing would have changed except that I'd lost time.
Yeah, I was interested, you know, reading that you know, dying was scarier than ever, and there was no intrinsic joy in being alive. You know, I always wonder, like, after an experience like that, are you just so happy to be alive?
I wasn't, and in part, it may simply be my temperament. Others might have experienced a kind of joyful release. Part, while I wanted to return to the old routines, being in them again and seemed a disappointment.
Because you had changed a lot, maybe?
Yeah, it seemed as though I had to set aside all that I'd experienced in the 3 years of Army life and begin again something that I not only no longer was, but didn't really want to be. In effect, that was a transition that I chose to make, and I did put aside my Army experience. I sometimes resented being treated as though I hadn't earned something by what I'd undergone.
What do you mean?
Well, it seemed to me that being treated as just an ordinary 20-year-old or 21-year-old didn't take into account what I'd experienced in the battlefields, what experiences I'd had with women, with dying, with friendships interrupted by death. In other words, with the cardinal matters that I was now, that I now was returning to issues that seemed kind of banal and trivial. And nonetheless, that's what I had chosen to do. And so there was a kind of dissatisfaction, mm-hmm. which I don't think I ever really managed to overcome.
My guest is Leo Litwack, author of the new World War II memoir, The Medic. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Leo Litwack is my guest. He's the author of the memoir, The Medic, which is based on his experiences as a combat medic in World War II in Europe. When you came home from the wars, you said, you know, there were millions of men coming home with you, millions of men who had experienced similar agonies on the battlefield to the ones that you did. And now we're kind of coming to the other side, where a lot of the people who fought in World War II are leaving, you know, they're passing on,
mm-hmm.
and many of those World War II stories are going to survive now through books, through movies, through letters, and through stories that have just been handed down to friends and family. And I guess I'm wondering how you feel about your memoir coming out at this time. You're nearing 80, I think, and you know the generation that you fought with is beginning to disappear.
Yes, it is. And that comes as a great surprise to me, since I don't feel much changed, but the change is there and coming. I think that World War II has received, especially in the last years, some remarkable memorials, you know, both in the movies and mm-hmm. In a variety of books, and to some extent, I think young people have a kind of nostalgia for World War II. It surprised me that during readings, young people would come up to me and shake my hand and thank me, and I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't think that I'd done anything to deserve anyone's gratitude. People remember it, and I think not incorrectly, as a time when the issue of good and evil was clearly demarked. We knew who our enemies were. We were all joined. There was a feeling of unity, not only in this country, but in most of the civilized world, that we were in the right and our war was just. It was, in a way, a rare time. And that kind of unity, it also provided a kind of culture which, in retrospect, seems naive, but also kind of joyful insofar as it reflected the unified country. Well, you know, the music and the movies, they all seem relatively simple now. But it's that yearning for simpler times, and where explanations are themselves simple, that people have a nostalgia for.
Is it important to you to have set down your memories of the war in a book? I know it's not the first book you've written. You're a novelist, but I think it's your first memoir.
Yeah, I often prefer the notion of personal narrative than memoir, but memoir will do. In part, I'm delighted that my grandchildren and my relatives and my family will have some kind of record. And similarly, I'm delighted that this generation of young people will have some kind of testimony that they can turn to if they wish. For me, it's kind of an odd experience that the memoir, in a way, has kind of erased my original memories. And what I now remember to a great extent are the shaped memories of the book. that's not unwelcome, but it distances me even more from the experiences of World War II. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It actually makes a lot of sense to me. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your memories with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Terry.
Leo Litwack is the author of The Medic, Life and Death in the Last Days of World War II. It's just come out in paperback.